not backing down. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. We're walking on fire. These girls are on fire. Put your hands in.
Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, February 6, 2017. The New York Immigration Coalition says it's been assisting visa and green card holders through New York's JFK Airport with no problems. That's after a federal judge put a temporary hold on Donald Trump's order barring admission to refugees and travelers from seven predominantly Muslim countries Trump doesn't do business with. An appeals court early today denied the administration's request to set aside the judge's ruling. More briefs are due to be filed in the case tomorrow. Resistance against Trump and opposition to his policies continued throughout the weekend, and there's every indication it will continue. On Friday, many Yemeni business owners shut down their delis, grocery stores, and bodegas around New York City, this in protest of Trump's travel ban. Dominic Jones reports.
Yemeni Americans and supporters packed tightly into the plaza facing the court. They encouraged each other with pats on the back and warm smiles. Minutes before the Muslim prayer, the crowd lined up in rows like a flower bed, laying their signs and scarves on the floor to kneel. As busy as downtown Brooklyn is, the plaza felt quiet during the prayer. All you could hear were camera shutters and buzzing helicopters. Yemeni immigrants and their children shared stories of coming to America, but having their hopes for freedom destroyed by discrimination.
My name is Wadad Hassan, and I'm a Yemeni American. And I think a lot of these rallies and protests are definitely what gives us strength and hope during these times, because we don't feel like we're going through this alone. We're, you know, united with other people who've been impacted by this ban, and also with allies who are against it and stand, you know, in solidarity with us. So I think these spaces are very important for getting through that. I think, like, at this point, it's the city that I'm relying on to protect us. The federal government, I feel like, as of now, I just have no hopes yet, so.
The rally went on for over 3 hours. It was organized by members of the Muslim Community Network and Yemeni bodega shop owners. Dominic Jack with Akim Killick, WBAI News, New York.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
If we don't get justice,
shut it down!
And over the weekend, LGBT protesters joined with refugees and immigrant New Yorkers and others in a massive demonstration outside of the Stonewall Inn. New York State Senator Tom Duane.
We're going to beat back the Trump attack!
Donald Trump turned to Twitter today, reacting to polls which say his travel ban is unpopular. He tweeted, "Any negative polls are fake news, just like the CNN, ABC, NBC polls in the election." Sorry, he tweeted, people want border security and extreme vetting. And there's resistance over proposed changes in financial regulations.
We expect to be cutting a lot out of Dodd-Frank because, frankly, I have so many people, friends of mine, that have nice businesses. They can't borrow money. They just can't get any money because the banks just won't let them borrow because of the rules and regulations in Dodd-Frank. So we'll be talking about that, Jamie, in terms of the banking industry.
following Trump signing an executive order on Friday directing the Treasury Secretary to review the Dodd-Frank law. New Yorkers stormed the Goldman Sachs headquarters in New York City to protest the bank's takeover of leading positions in the U.S. government and their plans to gut Dodd-Frank. It's a regulatory system put in place after the financial crisis. Activists were met with a disproportionate use of force. NYPD officers in Goldman's private security groped, pushed, and even choked some participants who protested at Goldman Sachs. Activists plan to continue rallying. They will rally on Tuesday again in front of Goldman Sachs as part of the Resist Trump Tuesdays movement.
If you continue sitting here on Tuesday, you're going to be escorted out. You can sit down, listen, then do what you did with the signs. You can't stand up, okay?
Thank you.
And today, Staten Island Congressmember Dan Donovan, a Trump supporter, a supporter of Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, and a Staten Island District Attorney, one who didn't get a conviction for NYPD Officer Daniel Pantaleo, who killed Eric Garner in a chokehold. He was interrupted repeatedly as he addressed the Brooklyn Newsmaker series.
You don't represent us, Dan Donovan.
The Rabbinic Call for Human Rights, it's a network of 1,800 rabbis from around North America. They've been meeting to coordinate a Jewish response to Trump's attacks on human rights. This evening, New York rabbis will march to Trump Hotel in support of immigrants and refugees. They will meet at 88th and Broadway at 6:45. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Work on the Dakota Access Pipeline has been stalled over a dispute on whether Texas-based Energy Transfer Partners has permission to lay pipe under Lake Oahe. It's a Missouri River reservoir in North Dakota, the source of drinking water for the Standing Rock Sioux. The four-state, 1,200-mile Dakota Access Pipeline would transport North Dakota oil to Illinois. This week, Army Corps of Engineers has begun reviewing an earlier decision not to grant permission until more study is done about the tribe's fears that a pipeline leak would contaminate its water. Protests against the pipeline have resulted in nearly 700 arrests in southern North Dakota since August. And as Earth Mum tells us, there was no surprise that Donald Trump would move against the Dakota Access Pipeline. And she says mixed messages are now coming out of the camps.
This is with respect to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Dakota Access Pipeline. Again, subject to terms and conditions to be negotiated by us.
It was really no surprise that, you know, Trump escalated this stuff.
John Wathen is a water protector from Alabama at Standing Rock.
We knew he was going to do that. Everybody, you know, we talked about it during the campaigns and all. We all knew he was going to escalate things. We just didn't have any idea how fast he was going to do it and how aggressive. The same day he approved the pipeline, this one and the KXL, he put it back into play. But at the same time, he also approved them escalating the military force here. That was National Guard that came down on us the other day. It was Morton County, yeah, but the National Guard was there too. It's a whole different game now. From inside the camp, things are not that much different, but after the Hill incident, all day yesterday, any little unusual noise, people were running out of the tents and looking up at the hill to see if there was any kind of action. There's an anxiety. There's an uneasiness in the camp. And as far as what the Tangerine Tweeter We knew that was happening, and the people in the camp are well aware that this could turn lethal very quickly. So there's also a bit of anxiety about that. There's fear, but there's also a conviction that a lot of these people are simply not going to leave, and they claim they're ready to lay down their lives for this.
Since Trump's executive action to advance the approval of the Dakota Access Pipeline on January 24th, much has transpired at Standing Rock. All of the Water Protector camps received an eviction notice of February 22nd. Safety is cited as the main reason for evacuation, as low-lying areas of the camps are likely to flood due to the high snowfall experienced this winter season. While police are becoming more militarized in North Dakota, the Ocheti, Shoconee, and Rosebud camps are having to clean up and get out due to the possible flooding. Standing Rock Sioux chairperson Dave Archambault wants the water protectors to leave and continue the resistance in their local areas, but the tribe is not completely with him. He released a statement saying, "Those who plan to occupy the new camp are putting all of our work at risk. They also put people's lives at risk. We have seen what brutality law enforcement can inflict with little provocation. There could be sacred sites on that property." These continuing actions in the face of the tribe's plea to stand down only harm the cause that everyone came here to support. And on Friday, the federal government said it is sending in officials from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the BIA, to help clear out the camps along with the Army Corps of Engineers. However, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe posted on their Facebook page, "We are cleaning the camps, not clearing them, and we do not support or endorse any raids. We have not asked for law enforcement to assist in clearing camps, and in fact have repeatedly told them there will be no forcible removal." There is talk about two new camps being made ready for the water protectors, and both camps are situated on higher ground, away from potential flood areas. In addition to this, it still remains up in the air if the Army Corps of Engineers will hold to President Obama's order issued on December 4th, which denied the easement for drilling under the Missouri River, which halts construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline until an environmental impact statement is taken and completed. On Friday, Lakota activist and lead counsel of the Lakota People's Law Project, Chase Iron Eyes, was charged with inciting a riot, a felony that carries a maximum punishment of 5 years in prison. He also faces a misdemeanor count of criminal trespass. Iron Eyes says it is important to understand that he is being targeted as the leader, that they are trying to send him back to prison. He was one of 76 water protectors arrested that day.
When they charge me with inciting a riot, it's Donald Trump who's actually inciting a riot, who has invoked millions of people to take to the streets, who's invoked tens of thousands of people to shut down airports, who's invoked tens of thousands of people to let the world know that they're ready to strike. Every demographic outside of the Euro-based heteropatriarchy, including all of the Black Lives Matter movement, including all of those who are called immigrants, called illegal human beings in a hemisphere in which they originate, the wall that's attempting to be built, the entirety of the peace-loving Muslim faith, who are being discriminated against, violated, and dehumanized by the immigration ban, or the flight ban. Everybody in the feminist movement, everybody who doesn't fit that demographic, who stands to be attacked and whose rights are going to be encroached upon by a Trump tyrannical presidency, needs to be aware right now. You've got to be paying attention to the Young Turks, to what's going on at the confluence of the Cannonball and Missouri Rivers. You've got to pay attention to Last Real Indians. Wherever you get independent real media, please pay attention, whether that's the Lakota People's Law Project, whatever it is. We need you to be aware, and we need you to share our truths, because we have to stand together in this fight against tyranny.
Chase Iron Eyes said he will plead not guilty and fight the charges against him. He spoke with the Young Turks outside the Morton County Courthouse after his release. This police action is similar to the police action on October 27, when armed militia came in riot gear to take down the treaty camp of 1851, which was built directly on the path of the pipeline. It was at this time that a roadblock was put across Highway 1806, the main road to Bismarck. This roadblock has caused financial hardship and makes it difficult for members of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe to travel in the area. The police took this block down to arrest the water protectors at the Last Child's Camp, and then proceeded to put it up after the arrests were made and the new camp dismantled. Earth Mum, WBAI News, New York.
At the edge of the world, where the factories are, there's a burning of hatred that's crossing the lines. There's a blue-eyed devil man, thinks he's king of the world. He's a bully, a with his hate, turns man against man, but it's really not a game. And I pray to the ancestors' love to not be fooled by this man's foolish talk. The serpent woke again in different times and places. There's a burning cross leading the mob, people in chains. He's a quack, circus act, creeping from the past. He's the symbol of the monster we no longer want to be. What we used to be. The earth trembles with these names. Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Pinochet. No respect for woman, no respect for race, no respect for anything that lives the human race. But he cannot buy our soul.
Lila Downs with The Demagogue, and you're listening to the WBAI Evening News. In environmental news, the NRC, the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission, canceled a study on cancer clusters associated with nuclear power plants. WBAI's Ken Gale, host of Ecologic, spoke with Susan Hito Shapiro this afternoon. She's with the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition and the Radiation and Public Health Project.
So the NRC has canceled a study that they're going to do about cancer clusters near nuclear power plants, and Radiation Public Health Project has been doing studies like that for a long time. So what can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, they had planned this study with the National Academy of Science, which we were not happy about, who they had actually chosen to do the study or the methodology, but at least they were going to be doing a study. And then after they spent quite a bit of money and quite a bit of time, they suddenly just canceled the study based on what we believe is that they were finding out that information they did not want to the public to know about, which is that, in fact, you know, people who live close to nuclear plants have much higher rates of cancer and illness. Especially the studies we found was regarding thyroid cancer. We've done a group of studies around the country near nuclear plants, and the thyroid cancer rates happen to be significantly higher.
Now, the Radiation Public Health Project has done studies in Westchester County near the Indian Point nuclear plant, right?
Correct. And also around Oyster Creek, which is, you know, down in New Jersey. So, and they're both very old, leaking reactors. And also near Millstone, which is in Connecticut. And the studies around Indian Point show that the thyroid cancer rates within the 5 to 10 mile radius are significantly higher than the rest of the New York State and significantly higher than the rest of the country. We're talking about, I believe we're about 80% higher than the rest of the nation in some areas around Indian Point.
Almost double.
Yeah, and it's quite, you know, and we're just looking at cancers, but thyroid illness is another, you know, marker that is caused by exposure. And we didn't look at just thyroid illness in general, but we do know, you know, from just speaking with people that there's incredible increase in thyroid illness everywhere, especially closer to the plants. But the shocking part about these studies is how much higher it is. And you can see based on, this is the studies we did was based on the CDRC, the Center for Disease Control, and the New York State Cancer Registry, zip codes data. That's what we used in our studies. And you can see that it's much higher. If anyone wants to look at these reports, they can go to radiation.org, and the studies are on the website.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from New York State or from anybody on these studies?
Basically, they try to discredit the studies. And New York State Health Department, prior to Governor Pataki taking office, was required to actually report the measurements, the monitoring measurements of radiation to the public. Since Pataki was in office, that website is down. It no longer exists. And what happens is they basically take the data, whatever Entergy happens to give them.
The owner of the plant.
The owner of the plant, and they just put it into a file, and then they pass that on to the EPA. Well, in 2012, I think it was 2012, maybe it was 2013, we looked at the data, and it turns out for about a quarter of the year, they're not monitoring. So they don't even have a full monitoring database to be able to make a decision. So the Department of Health is not on top of this at all. And we should be making calls to the Department of Health saying that every reactor community needs to have radiation monitors and detectors. What we did do for a time was we had some radiation detectors, just a handful, and we started looking at, you know, started doing a community radiation project, monitoring project. And what we did find was that through our own, you know, community groups looking at radiation, we could tell when leaks were going to be reported before they were reported in the news. We would see spikes, and then they would report the next day that, oh, yes, there was a leak. And their claim about that was, oh, that's impossible. You couldn't have seen in the air that there was a spike in radiation because this was a groundwater leak. Well, to me, that proved that groundwater leaks are also go into the air.
Right.
There's no controlling where the radiation goes. They can't see it. They don't. Really, the lack of monitoring in this country is appalling. And the fact that they canceled the study, which was possibly going to give some information, is even more appalling. They're basically letting the public be irradiated without knowledge. It's like what was happening before everyone agreed that cigarettes were causing cancer.
Now, if radiation can cause cancer, it's also messing up our immune system. It's causing a lot of other problems, right?
Correct. That's what I was saying. It causes other medical issues that are not being considered, and the cost is never being considered. What is the cost of, let's just look at thyroid cancer. What's the cost of all these people getting thyroid cancer and curing it or managing it or handling it or increased other illnesses due to thyroid cancer? No one's ever looking at those cost impacts.
Are you assuming that the cancellation of the study is politically motivated?
I'd say it's politically motivated, but I'm not. I'm not blaming on Trump because it was canceled long before Trump came into office. This was politically motivated by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, who's politically motivated in general, who does not want anyone to know how bad radiation is on human health.
Well, thank you very much, Susan. And the Radiation Public Health Project's website, again, is?
Radiation.org.
An easy one.
WBAI's Ken Gale, host of WBAI's program Ecologic, with Susan Hito Shapiro of the Safe Energy Coalition and the Radiation and Public Health Project. And here's Lady Gaga from the Super Bowl halftime show last night.
God bless America.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, February 6, 2017. The news was produced with Dominique Jack, Akeem Killick, Earth Mum, Ken Gale, and Reggie Johnson. Please send us your protest and your rally sound for our newscast, as well as your suggestions. My email is linda@wbai.org. And also, please go to our website and support this listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica radio station, WBAI in New York. Go to give2wbai.org. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. One, two, three. Hold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby. Stay with me. Love, game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start. And after